Something with you that has been on my heart for a number of weeks, but you know, sometimes the Lord has or gives one the right time which to give something that you believe that the Lord is revealing. And it's not something that's any new. I have touched on these areas over the years, but I feel that God wants us to think about this morning. And again, the title for this is Faith versus Feeling or Emotions. Faith versus Feeling or Emotions. Feeling or emotions, as I believe God revealed to me, are absolutely opposite to faith. And that is where we battle. That is most of our problems we have with regard to faith. Faith, feelings, emotions are opposite to faith. And yet most Christians, sadly, are deceived by this. And this is why Satan works overtime. Now, as we are approaching the last days and the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the things that we're seeing an excessive amount of emotion hype in the world. And we're seeing this, if you like, excessively in almost everything, but particularly in the areas of music. We are seeing it in behaviour, in young people. We are seeing emotions now no longer under control, running rampant, wild. We only have to look at history to see what emotions do in wars. This is why you have, when there are wars, terrible, unspeakable atrocities, which of course are happening now. We hear it in the news. You hear of barbaric acts. You think, how can humans fall to such depravity and do what they do? But you know what instigates so much of that is emotions. Did you know anger is emotion? Resentment is emotion? All of these things that go on are emotions. Hallelujah. We've got a bit of music going on here. Oh, I know what this is. Sorry, it's for Sorry about that. So we have all of these things that are so moved, instigated, used by the devil. And the devil knows that man is an emotional being. Yes, and we are. And God made man that way. And of course, we have to remember that when man fell, everything fell. When Adam, Eve sinned. Everything that we think of, we can imagine, fell. And this is why I'm always telling you that we live as believers, as overcomers, in a fallen world. And only God can build his church through such conditions. But everything that you can imagine, you can think of, is fallen. Even the very air that you are breathing now is fallen. It's not the air that it should be. Everything you look at, everything is fallen. Everything you look at, the very chair that you're sitting on, is in a fallen state. It's decaying, it's dying. That chair, if it survives 50 years, will look quite different to what it is now. Your very homes are decaying. This is why we have to keep them clean. Have to put up fresh emulsion or wallpaper or a new carpet after a time and so forth. Everything decaying. Everything is fallen. And Satan knew one of the weakest areas in man is to play around with his emotions. And this is why I'm calling this teaching today, Faith versus Feelings, Emotions. Now, we know the story very well, but I think it's very apt in what I'm talking about in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 14. And we're going to look at this again to see just what the enemy knew he could do with man. You see, I'm reminded of the story of Job. When God brought to the attention Job to Satan. It was God that did it. Have you considered my servant? Righteous, you know, and so on. And Satan said, well, let me loose. Let me have a go at him. And you watch, he'll deny you. And what was Satan going to do? Play on Job's emotions. He first tried to play on his emotions by getting rid of his family, everything around him, all his goods, all his security, comfort zone, things that we all depend on. He said, let me attack that. And then he said, right, well, let me now attack his health. Because health is so involved with emotions. We say it, I don't feel too good today. Or, I feel great. Feel emotions. And Satan knew exactly where to try and attack. But the Lord, you see, was one step ahead. And say, okay, you go ahead, but don't take his life. And so here we see the story that we know so well. The temptation and fall of man. Genesis 3, chapter 3, verses 1 to 14. And it says, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. So we are already opening up to the idea of seeing and touching, all of which is in the realm of feeling, emotions, the sense realm. Then the serpent, verse 4, said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Now, of course, you see, the serpent could say to Eve, surely you will not die. Because up until then, the idea of death or dying is unheard of. So he's using something there, words, ideas, trying to get her attention. You know, what's this dying? You know, what's this all about? You know? Because they didn't know anything about that up until then. Because death was not there, was it not?
That's right.
So you see, he's springing forth a knowledge, ideas, trying to open the mind up. And so when the woman saw that the tree was good, you see, he couldn't deceive her by this idea of dying. Although he's raised the question, he's going to attack her on the visual. He knows her weakness. Notice he doesn't go to the man. He's going to the woman to open her eyes up. He's appealing now to feelings, emotions. And so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And the eyes of both of them were opened. There immediately is the fall. Everything as a result of that has fallen. The result of that taking of that fruit, even the stars are not clean now in God's sight. The word of God even tells us. This is profound what's happened here. And they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. What is he now opened up to? Emotions, feeling. He is experiencing fear. And fear is an emotion. It grips you. And he said, verse 11, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? Then the man said, the woman whom you gave to me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. And so the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed among than all the cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, and shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his head. To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception in pain, and you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns, thistles shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. So here we get this graphic image of man falling, trapped in his emotions, his feelings. And Satan has access to all of these and knows all the buttons to press. Mm. Hallelujah. But God is on the throne, is he not?
That's right, amen.
So we see this, it was an outright attack on believing. And that's what he was doing. It was an outright attack on a simple, childlike faith, simply believing in God. Mm. Believing in his presence, believing in his provision, just believing. It was an outright attack, and he knew how to attack with this simple faith, was to bring man into his emotions, which war against faith.
Yes.
And yet we're told that God had put these emotions within man. So this outright attack on believing, he is simply doing it still today. It doesn't change. And you see, our belief is because we are still... Our unbelief, I should say, is because we still love the world. And that is where our unbelief is. Why do we still love the world and God is getting the world out of us? Because the world appeals to the emotions.
Yeah.
The world at times can make us feel good, but it's only temporary. And so because man is trapped in his feelings, his emotions, and now we're beginning to see this great falling away of this last day, we're seeing man's emotions now being exposed. This is why we are seeing today no self-control anymore. No respect. No discipline. Everything now is going wild. We're seeing rebellion on the increase like probably we have never seen before. All of these appeal to the emotions. He's no longer concerned about his anger, his outrage, or his tantrums, or whatever it would be. No longer... is man concerned about that? He's so trapped in himself, in this inward-looking selfishness, that all these emotions that come out couldn't care less. Not worried about whether it affects the family, affects the marriage, or affects my boss at work or whatever it is. It's what I feel, it's what I'm going to do. Little realizing that what he sows is what he reaps. And so we get, then, with all of what he sows, we get an increase of marriage breakup, family life decaying,
yes.
Increase in sickness, diseases. It becomes just a vicious circle. Because he's trapped in his emotions. And we have got to learn, brothers and sisters, that faith, the actual operation of faith, our believing in the promises of God and the faithfulness of God, has nothing to do with how you feel.
No.
You can go through all the emotions and all the feelings, but it doesn't change God's word. It doesn't change God's decrees. It doesn't change God's plans and what he's doing and will do. And it takes a long time to learn this. And you see, our unbelief is because we still love the world. And the reason we still love the world, because it can still give us that temporary buzz. This is why so many people turn to drugs, alcohol. All of these addictions are on the increase. I was listening to a program the other day, and they were discussing certain addictions now in the world, and there were about 10 of them you know, various different addictions, some that I had never really even thought about. But they said that people are addicted to these, driven by these. It's the norm now. And another big problem that we have today, you know, they call it obesity. But it's an addiction to eating. And what does eating do? It makes you feel comfort. It gives you a false comfort. It's sort of, by eating, I can just, it's like burying your head, you know. I've got all these problems, all what's going on and everything. Let's just go and have a slap-up meal and forget about it. You know, and a bottle of wine and stick the candle on the table and everything. It's all romantic. And I'm not saying you can't have that. But the next day, you've got to face up to the reality. But what it's doing is, you see, it's creating these problems. And so we have this huge problem today of weight. It's not so much the weight. The problem is it's what people eat. It's what's produced from that. And unhealthy diets and so forth. And that's just one area. So addiction to eating. And of course, what is the enemy doing today? He's feeding all of that with all these food programs you have. And all these wonderful books, these recipe books you can buy. And you go into bookshops, you've got shelves filled with cookbooks.
That's right.
What is it doing? It appeals to feelings, emotions. Now, nobody didn't say you can't eat and enjoy what God puts before you. And so we have these addictions today on how you look, how you present yourself, what you wear. People will only wear designer stuff, which is one of the biggest frauds going today. These are all addictions. They were covering these areas. And I said, praise God, we have been preaching this for years. Five-year-old girls worried about how they look. Yeah. I'm too fat. No childhood. Their childhood is robbed from them. Where do they pick this up? It's obvious. Parents. Television. What is this all about? It's about feelings, about emotions. And the devil is working overtime on all these areas. I'm giving the negative side to all of this, and then I will go over to the positive. And so you see, because we battle this unbelief. A lot of the unbelief that we battle, I battle, is because it's of the world, and the world still plays to the emotions. And we try to mix emotions with the Word of God. And it will never, ever work. You see, faith will always be hindered in this. And yet we try to mix faith with feelings and the world. I wonder why we're doing that. It gives me a reminder in these last days of Daniel's dream of the beast. And it's interesting because its feet partly are of iron and of clay. And of course, that's not only speaking of the world, the systems, the governments and everything, but you can even take it a step further. It'll never mix because you can't mix those two elements. And it's like exactly the same. It's feelings, emotions, trying to mix it with faith. Never will happen. And yet, you have got ministers, ministries, Christians, churches, striving, trying to mix faith with feelings and emotions. You thought that man would have learned after all these centuries, but he doesn't. It takes grace. It takes mercy. And so we try to mix the arm of the flesh with the Word of God. And there's this false mixture that comes up. And so God is trying to remove that fear from our lives, our hearts. Because fear hath torment, as the word of God said. And what is the experience of torment? Torment is an emotion, a feeling. It is a lie suggested to the mind by the powers of darkness. Now, God is training us to walk by faith. And this is why I make no apology for all the faith teachings that we have week after week after week. Because God is training us in a fallen world where our emotions have been played about with.
Yeah.
And yet he's getting us to walk by faith, to appropriate things by faith, and not for emotions, feelings to come in the way. Now, can God do that? Can he do it in your life? Can he do it in my life? Can he do it in this church? Why, our faith says, yes, he can, and he will. Because he's building. You see, as you start to grow up in the Lord, you're not finding yourself demanding from God so much. Lord, just tell me you love me. I just want to feel your presence today. I just want to wake up this morning and just know that you are there and that the joy of the Lord is my strength. Yes, you had a few of those touches when you first got saved, but now you're beginning to grow up. It's not there so much because God's telling you, I don't want you walking like that. You will never grow up that way. And when I went through a very, very deep trial some years back, crying out to God, where are you? You don't love me and everything. And God spoke into my spirit and said to me, I'm always close to you, but if you want to know something, I'm actually even closer to you right now. And I thought, praise God, what am I crying out before God and saying all of this? When of course he is, because his word says that he is. Yet those emotions, feelings demanded it from God. And God is not going to play to them. And he has a reason. Because emotions, feelings change like the very wind.
Yes.
You can be in one emotion in 1 second, and you can, at the flip of a sixpence, you can change into another emotion and mood. We're like that. We're volatile. We're vulnerable. That is in our flesh. How is the Antichrist going to appear and come and deceive the world in the last days? He's going to do it through the senses of man, the emotions. He's going to try and elevate man, beguile him, seduce him, appeal to all those weak areas and emotions, just like he did with Adam and Eve there in Genesis 3 that I've read. His work will be exactly the same because he doesn't change. And he's going to come again, elevating, appealing to the emotions, the hype. And you know, so many churches, Christians are so open to it. They are so gullible to it. But you see, God is teaching us that we appropriate everything by faith. We're getting to a place where if the Lord said, would you like me to appear, stand in your presence, we'll get to such a place, Lord, it will be a blessing, but it won't change whether you appear or don't appear. It doesn't change my belief, my faith in you, because your presence is always with me. That's what God wants to get us to. But you know, if you'd have said that, a lot of Christians, would you like the Lord to appear now, his presence? Oh, yes! You know, gosh, all the emotions would rise up and so forth. See? That just shows it's still appealing to emotions, feelings. Now, I'm not saying that they don't have a place, because I'm going to look at that in a minute. But the point is that we are so secure on God's word and his promises that we don't look for any proof text or look for any evidence to try and make me feel more in faith to what I read. I've said that to the Lord. That's the faith I want. A faith that is so motivated, so led by what I read, by what I know, and what I know of God. And if he chooses to appear, then that's an added bonus. But as far as I'm concerned, that doesn't affect my faith or belief in the Lord. Because I know that that is how the Antichrist is going to come. You see, so much is affected by emotions. This is why we have breakdowns today in society. Breakdowns with people. Breakdowns in marriages, relationships, families, parents. No discipline anymore. It's a breakdown because everything has become emotional. That's what people want. They want an emotion. I want a buzz. I'm getting out of this marriage because it doesn't give me a buzz anymore. It's all on emotions. And they don't last. Now, God has put emotions in man. And that is why we are to take on Christ. And as we take on Christ, as Christ has been moulded, perfected, worked within us, we take on his character and we take on the fruit of the Spirit. That love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, self-control, and so on. These are the fruits of the Spirit that we take on that is restoring, balancing, bringing back godly emotions and feelings. And as God is restoring that with our faith, then we get it right. Jesus revealed emotions, feelings. But his emotions and feelings never got in the way to his faith and his obedience to his heavenly Father. He cried at the tomb of Lazarus.
Yes.
He lost a friend. He wept also because death should not have been. It's not right. But look what Jesus did. But those emotions didn't motivate him by saying, "Father, I thank you, you've heard. Lazarus, come forth." That's all he said. He didn't get in the way. But the emotions were there. We note that the emotions were there with Martha and Mary. Shouldn't she be helping me? You see, the emotions were there. And God tried to correct it. And he does the same with us. Much of our correction is because we're being motivated, led by our emotions. And that is why God has to do what he does. And sometimes he has to come heavy on us. Because he knows those emotions otherwise are just going to make shipwreck. And emotions, feelings can deceive us from the real thing, which is of the Spirit. Because we're so trapped in those emotions, we think that that is God, that is revival, or that is what God is saying, when in fact it isn't. That is emotion speaking. We can be deceived by that. So that this is why God is balancing us. Now, we are seeing God doing a new work. He's doing a new thing, even in this assembly, as we're beginning to press in. But you see, one of the wonderful things where God balances when he's doing a new work in a church, he balances us because he keeps us as a church praying.
Yes.
Prayer is a wonderful leveler. It balances. It brings one back. Because, you see, in prayer, when you're pressing in, and we should pray as a body, and it is important that we pray as a body, and the Lord is challenging this, and we have prayer meetings Thursday night online, which has dropped badly. But what prayer does, it's our side of our effort, our side in meeting God halfway. We will never appreciate the anointings and blessings that God will give us, the latter rain outpouring, the greater works. We will never appreciate it fully unless we have played our part in prayer, believing, coming together in unity, embracing the word of God, overcoming. We'll never appreciate it or fully understand it. Do you know why? Because otherwise emotions, feelings will get in the way and misinterpret it. I found that the delays of faith in my life, my pressing in, my sometimes taking it by force, other times just simply knocking, just thanking, praising God, when the manifestation is eventually there, the true appreciation is there. And I'm able to give God all the praise and all the glory, and it is not being motivated by emotions which always minister to self. Look what my faith has achieved. Look what God has blessed me. You know, we've seen this in the past in testimonies. But all you're seeing coming out is a form of pride. Pride is emotional. Pride is a feeling, an emotion. What does pride do? Pride makes you feel important. And man loves to feel important. He loves to feel he's recognized. Man in his pride loves to create an impression. Hey folks, I've arrived. I'm here. It elevates. And what is it doing? It's appealing to your emotions. So your faith is hindered. You can't believe in that area until God has to cast that down. These emotions, these things that appeal to the emotions, are often idols. And what does God do with idols? Cast them down. And he says, if you're not going to cast it down, I will.
That's right.
And it's best for you to repent and get on your knees and ask God to forgive you than to provoke him to a point where he's going to come and say, I'm now going to cast that down. Boy, you don't want to tempt God to that.
Right.
And yet we do sometimes. We do. Because sometimes the removal of that idol being cast down might mean that God will allow you to die but save your soul in order to do it. Because there's a refusal for that idol to be cast down. Don't ever provoke God to that. Because he'll do it. God will do the ultimate to save a soul, even if it means you have to die prematurely in this life. Why do people go to that length? Because they're still bound and held by emotions, feelings. They've got to go, friends. That is the emotions, the open door to it, where Satan uses it. We've got to close that door. Otherwise, we're in balance. It's not going to work. And these emotions, which we still want, you know, depend on, will always still keep us loving the world and compromising. Now, God is the only one who can do this. And this is why we appeal and we thank God for his love, his grace, his mercy, his long suffering with us and so forth. Because Rome was not built in a day. And God knows that. He knows in our fallen state we have been such emotional creatures, held by feelings and emotions. But has God made a mistake? No, he has not. And he will do it, being the master builder. We all know, still, we are vulnerable in areas. We have got weaknesses. Every true Christian who's truly born again, if they're really real with God, will say, I've got weaknesses.
Right.
Now, what are those weaknesses? They are weaknesses that are vulnerable to emotions, feelings. I'm held by them. Because I like the sensation. I like it. But I know it goes, it dies. And God will bring me through. Don't know how, but I know he will. Because it's done by love. It's done by covenant. And you see, that's what we hold on. And that's why we have patience one with another. We pray one for another. Because we're all in the boat together.
Amen.
We are all emotional creatures. God working with them so that doors are closed, so that we're no longer governed by these emotions and feelings, so that faith can flow. And Satan knows this one. This is why our minds are being renewed, worked on. It's basically doors being closed. We were sharing as we were coming over. I picked my brother up today. He was just saying, you know, this walk, man's mind is in a battle. And it is. Every day. Your battle is in the mind. And you have a choice whether that door stays open or it closes. And one day, as God works with us, you find yourself, I'm not having that door open anymore. It's closing in Jesus' name. And you've overcome. And you no longer anymore can he control and govern you now in those emotions and feelings which, you know, take you up and down. This is the problem with depression today. There was a program the other day. They are so concerned about depression now. It's world epidemic. And particularly, this is interesting, amongst the forces. There are more men in the army now, in armies, committing suicide. They are concerned. One in 10 in children has some form of psychotic emotional imbalance.
That's right.
Depression. And of course they're saying, well, of course these tablets that the doctors give now and everything, they are pretty good and they are helping people and so forth. All they are sedatives. They knock you out. They space you out. Absolutely. It's just suppressing it. But it's a problem. It is a real problem. And they can't see that it's God out of their lives. Now, what is depression? Depression is a terrible form of feeling. It's one of the worst feelings. It's absolute feelings of utter despair. They say that real depression is probably the nearest feeling that when man will go to hell. Cut off from life, reality, self, God, everything. That's why. And little wonder they sink and go right down, because the feelings, the emotions that he depends on to try and give him that buzz or whatever is not there anymore. So the only thing he can do is end his life. Now God's delivering you and I from that. So that the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Amen. Glory to the Lord.
And that we walk in His power, His strength, His might. His mind. I confess His mind every day over my mind. I have this day the mind of Christ. I thank you, Jesus. You are renewing and changing and working on this mind. You know, let it be your confession. Let it be your praise. Let it be your thanks. Because that is the key to this. Yet so many believers don't see it. They don't see that their battle is in their mind. Attitudes defeat us. What are behind attitudes? Emotions, feelings. We can have all sorts of different attitudes. Some are good, some are bad. And that is why we're seeing all these problems today. Increasing drug taking, alcohol, you name it. And of course, not only that, when all of this takes place and is taking place, then you're seeing this and particularly this generation that's coming forth, is completely irresponsible. Hasn't got a clue. Completely irresponsible. No good at stewardship. Don't know how to be sensible over money. Don't really know family life. How to really bring up children properly in love. And then nurture in the fear of the Lord. So we're seeing just a complete breakdown. And as this breaks down more and more, so you will see more and more of emotional things coming out. Well, praise God. Faith versus feeling, emotions. That's what we've been talking about today. Our faith, which comes by hearing, reading, listening to the Word of God, has got nothing to do with feelings and emotions. You see, this is why I am opposed to so many ministers who try to hype people up in churches. I was only listening the other day, you know, and there was a minister there. The Word, yeah, was good. It was a good Word. Come on, give me an amen. Are you awake? You know, what are you doing? Come on. You know, what is that doing? Now, it's not wrong to say amen. You can do it sometime. But it's coming out all the time.
Yes,
now, why do they do that? Because they want the feeding from you to make them feel anointed.
Absolutely.
And so you see, this is where then these things start to happen as they hype the people up. That feeds and elevates that pride. Then they start to feel, oh, I can feel the anointing. Jesus can be here. He's going to heal you today. We see all of that's come about because those people who are pressurized into hyping that preacher up, he then starts to say these lies. Can you see how it works? Now, I'm not to say you can't get excited or praise the Lord or clap. I'm not saying that. But that is the Spirit inspiring. It's not worked by control, by hypnotic means, which is so often what happens today in Christendom. And all you've got is a hype of emotion. And they want to spiritualize it. And they want to call it faith. And they want to call it the anointing. And the Spirit of God and so forth. I mean, it almost gets to the point of blasphemy.
Yeah.
Thank God He is delivering us from that. Doesn't matter what they think or they say about us. What a miserable, dowdy lot they are. They don't get very excited about Jesus. You see, I know how it all works. You are forced, you are controlled into performing and acting and worshipping God in that way. And if you don't do it, you're made to fit. Well, you're not saved. You're not born again. See, it's all about control. Praise God. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
Amen.
And when we come to worship God, there is no control. We are open and free for the Spirit to anoint and lead and guide. But it is done on the basis of faith, not on feeling and emotions. And yes, sometimes you are going to be emotional. Sometimes you're going to hear bad news, whatever it is. See, you're going to cry. You're going to be emotional.
Yeah.
But don't, in that state, try and start to believe, or this is faith. Sometimes we have to use wisdom. If we feel our emotions are getting the upper hand or whatever it is, or then that is not a time to start using faith until you come through. Sometimes we go through. We can go through bereavement. Bereavement is real. But you have to give yourself time to come through that.
Yes.
So sometimes it's not wise to do certain things while you're still in that state. It's very difficult sometimes if you're a minister. On rare occasions, it might just be right not for a minister to actually get up and preach today. The emotions are very high, they're sensitive, they're raw. There's nothing wrong with that. Until, you know, you get through it. We are emotional. And we need to know what to do with our emotions. And that's what God is teaching us. He's not annihilating us. He's not making us like zombies. He's simply training us and helping us to know what to do in these situations. That is it. So that faith can have that free flow that glorifies God. That it's unhindered. You see, in James it speaks about wavering. Like the wave of the sea, tossed to and fro. There's a real analogy of emotions, feelings going on. Oh, I'm in faith today. And then the next day comes, oh, you know. You've only got to listen to your confession. You see? A lot of our confession is being based on emotions. It's an emotional confession. We're not a real confession of faith. Again, in our trials, when depending on emotions and they're not there any longer, then the true heart, then the true confession really comes out. But in time, God's changing us, moulding us, conforming us into His image.
Praise
the Lord. Hallelujah. Faith versus feelings, emotions. God's getting this right, I tell you. There's no stone left unturned. He is going down to every depth and crevice and cranny, you name it, to work healing deliverance. The time you and I are finished with this deeper life teaching, we will come forth whole, complete.
Amen.
This is why the bride making herself ready.
His grace to me hath made known. Though I am worthy of such grace, He claimed me for His own. But I know whom I have believed in, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I committed unto Him against that day. I know not how this saving faith to me He did impart, nor how believing in His word wrought peace within my heart. But I know whom I have believed in, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I committed unto Him against that day. I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus. through the word, creating faith in Him. But I know who I have believed in, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I believe in, unto Him.
Rushes onward, ever growing, till it. cradled in